I don't think that you get to be seen as an expert in that first 3 years, but there are the things that you should be doing to build towards that, right? And in fact, the harder we try to seem like an expert when we're not, the less we sound like an expert, the less we look like an expert, right? They say fake it till you make it. I think that's misapplied advice, right?
Really?
We have to show up in the shoes that we're wearing every day. That doesn't mean we can't do good things, great things, the right things with our messaging when we're first starting out. But have you ever seen someone who they'll fill, let's say, their website or their whatever, I've booked with beauticians through different profiles, right, on websites for finding hairstylists. They'll fill it with a lot of glitzy language, right? That this sounds just like the other experts out there. And I'm like, there's a disconnect. It creates a dissonance between what I'm seeing and the experience that I might be able to have with that person.
I'm talking today to Erica Brewer. She says that sharing your brilliance shouldn't require an MBA in marketing. That's the lens that Erica Brewer applies to her work as a messaging and thought leadership strategist. Now, through workshops and one-on-one support, Erica provides the strategy and creative insight you need in order to graduate from a life of endless edits to one where you have a message that takes you from option to standout expert. Now, Erica's reputation for translating complexity into connection is underpinned by 10 plus years of experience supporting brands in the consulting and startup arenas. Her talent for finding unexpected messaging angles was born during her experiences in the museum world, as well through her comedy training with the Second City. Today, Erica advances her goal of helping talented voices and minds overcome invisibility and silence through her signature Message Maker and Message Momentum program. Now, you can visit Erica at www.ericabrewer.com to learn more about how Erica can help you make your brilliance impossible to overlook. Now, if you're wondering how to spell Brewer, it's Breuer. So that's Erica Brewer. But of course, we'll put the link in the description as we talk. Now, I'm excited to talk with Erica because I follow all of her messaging posts on LinkedIn, and she makes me think about my own messaging and copy and things that I say and what I stand for as a marketer for my audience, who right now are wellness providers. They're usually solopreneurs who are service providers in the wellness, beauty, and spa salon health services space. Now, when I talk to Erica, and she's being really quiet right now, but when I talk to her, I always want to make improvements on how I say things. And so I really wanted to have her on today because we want to talk about that, like how to use your words to be seen as an expert. Erica, welcome
And
to
I'm,
the show.
yeah, thank you. I promise I will use my words today. I'm so pumped that we're doing this finally. We've been talking on LinkedIn on and off forever now, and we've had so many good conversations about content, messaging, making your mark, getting your name out there. And now we get to do it and share it with everybody. So it's so good to be here, Ebony.
Well, thanks for being on the show, the podcast. And one of the things you and I talked about, because I talk to service providers. You're talking to people who are at different points of their career with their business. And the thing that I thought, well, I like you for my business. And I thought, well, how could my audience use what you have? Because I like it so much. And so we came up with the whole idea of going from a service provider, someone who's providing services, to be an expert, sought after expert, which is different, by using your words. Now, in an industry like beauty, visuals are so important, right? However, I saw a celebrity hairstylist say this on Instagram. She says, well, after the script, you have the beauty people come in. So I was thinking to myself, well, if there was no script, the beauty would just be the visuals. So I do think the words and the visuals go hand in hand. And so that's why, when you see award shows, the writer is crying, the makeup person is crying, you know, the stylist is crying, like everybody a part of the team, you know, because it all works together. So we're going to get more into that. So when you say use your words, like, what do you mean?
Well, and you bring up a great point. And that's one reason why I always mention my museum experience. I've had people say, what the heck does that have to do with presenting yourself online, right? Doesn't that have to do with galleries? No, it has everything to do with it. Because I studied museum exhibition design, right? Which mm-hmm. means I'm not only focused on the paintings or the collection of Victorian gowns, or if it's dinosaur bones, right? My training mm-hmm. said, all right, we have to take that object and create an experience around it that involves words. Sometimes it can involve touches, tastes, smells, sounds, the entire experience. And to your point, that movie is an experience, right? The makeup, the set dressing, the, you know, the audio is huge. You have bad audio, you don't have a movie, right? Considering all of those parts and angles as you're creating something. And that's what it's like when you have a service-based business, right? Because that service is an experience. Using your words shows up in every single touch point of that experience, even the visual one, right? And you and I have talked a lot that it's easy to take the wrong advice during different stages of your business, right? It can be valid advice, it can be good advice, but not the advice that you need to follow when you're just starting out versus when you're 10 years down the road. So I think that'd be a great way for us to parse this out today, because the way that we use our words, right, and the way that we can be most effective with that changes depending on where we are in that journey.
Okay, so let's talk about it. So for the person who is the professional who's just starting out in their business, and we say starting out, we're talking about like the first 5 years. Cause just, is that, that's like when you were all figuring it out, right?
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because according to US studies, they say most businesses fail within the first 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. How can they use their words to be an expert?
You know, I don't think that you get to be seen as an expert in that first 3 years.
Okay.
But there are the things that you should be doing to build towards that, right? And in fact, the harder we try to seem like an expert when we're not, the less we sound like an expert, the less we look like an expert, right? They say fake it till you make it. I think that's misapplied advice, right?
Really?
We have to show up in the shoes that we're wearing every day. Ooh. That doesn't mean we can't do good things, great things, the right things with our messaging when we're first starting out. Mm-hmm. But have you ever seen someone who they'll fill, let's say, their website or mm-hmm. their pro, whatever, you know, I've booked with beauticians through different profiles, right, on websites for finding hairstylists. Yeah. They'll fill it with a lot of glitzy language, ooh. Right? That mm-hmm. this sounds just like the other experts out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's a disconnect. It creates a dissonance between what I'm seeing and the experience that I might be able to have with that person. But I can give you a set example of, let's keep it in the hairstylist realm. I think we could talk hair all day, because you know, yes. I've been dealing with a bad haircut, right?
Your stylist is not listening. She better not be listening.
But when you're first starting out, right?
Okay.
Oh, I found a new stylist, Ebony. She helped me out big time. We're still growing some wonky layers out, mm-hmm. but there's light at the end of the tunnel, right? Mm-hmm. But when I booked with her, and this is the point that I'm trying to get to with, you know, that 0 to 5 years, even 0 to 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be seen as an expert. You want to be someone who has commitment and someone who cares.
Okay.
Right? If you can do that with pieces of your messaging, and I have some examples of how you mm-hmm. can do that, right? You're already so far ahead of everyone else who's trying to sound like an expert when they're really not, you know, the people who are creating those disconnects. And you can do it in small ways, especially when you're first starting out. You might mm-hmm. not have a website. You might be renting a chair someone and you show up as part of that salon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what this stylist did, and she's not starting out, but this is something that even a beginner could apply to their process, right? Because again, every touch point involves messaging, whether you're thinking about it or not. I'm booking for this appointment, and I had kind of done some research. She seemed like she'd be able to help me with my hair mishap. And in her booking process, she said, are you interested in a hair trend? What's the name of it? Send me a link. She's like, did you see it on TikTok or Instagram, right? And this is someone with 30 years of experience, right? And I so valued that because she shows that she wants to be part of the trend. She knows that I'm probably there chasing something, wanting to look a certain way, recontextualize myself, right? She's committed to being at the top of her game and preparing for our time together, right? Commitment and care, right?
I like that. So go ahead. Sorry, I want to explore this. Go ahead.
I'm saying, was it copy on a website? No, it was a question in her booking process that told me, right, a little bit about what I could expect from that experience. She didn't just want me to show up that day and say, oh, I cut my hair, right? She was showing me, no, we are going to figure things out together before we even meet.
Right? Okay, so let's explore this for a little bit. So people understand, we're talking about the words that you use at all touch points or everywhere people interact with you. So your website, social media, and your booking system, how, because you're communicating with your clients, your emails to them. And I'm going to say even the person who is answering the call. So we just said 5 touch points right there.
Yeah.
Making it all okay. So you're saying, like, if you're in your first 0 to 5 years, don't focus on being an expert because you're new to that particular thing, but focus on, I'm committed to this. So do these new people, new stylists, new business owners, service providers, should they say, well, our business just opened, so we want to grow with you? Is that honestly the transparency, that the words that they could use?
I don't know that that's something you need to spell out, because it's pretty easy for folks to discern when your business opened, right? There's all these cues that we can find online. Oh, yep, the website was built in whatever, the profile, the testimonials only go back to 2000, whatever, right? They can pick up on that and align that usually with an age if you have photos out there, right? They know who's just starting out, who may have less or more experience, right? But if you're asking those smart questions along the way to show that you care, again, when you're just starting out, you might not have the website yet. Your booking experience may be the only touch point they have before they're walking in the salon and sitting down in the chair, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to have an overarching messaging strategy when you're first starting out, right? Because you don't technically have a point of view yet. You haven't found your groove, found your way of doing things, because you're in that first 0 to 5 years, 0 to 3 years, right? Trying to contrive something that's going to wow people is a waste of time. But
I would say
keep it basic. Keep it really simple as you're getting started.
Okay. I can see that. So it's funny you mentioned, let's kind of go back a little bit. So for somebody like I've worked with people who've had 30 years experience. They've worked a full-time job. And then they say, I want to open a salon. So we're talking about their business experience of owning their own business, correct? Showing up to market that, not the experience that they have through life with doing hair.
Oh.
Because this is a reality. I'm just saying,
Well, that's the thing about messaging, right? There is no one perfect answer.
Okay.
There's so, no one. However, let's take the person. Let's get specific here.
Okay.
I've worked full time. They've done hair full time for 30 years, you're saying, right?
On the side.
So is that full time or is that not full time?
Good point. They worked at a job. No, they worked at a job their whole life. And they said, I'm retiring. I want to go ahead. My dream is to open this hair salon or go get the chair. So they are a new business owner in that instance, in the 0 to 5 years with owning that particular business, going full time. So maybe I should be clear. So maybe they were a part-time business owner. So then maybe they would not be inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should qualify that. So I guess maybe that brings up another point. Maybe, does it matter if they're a full-time business owner or a part-time business owner? Does it matter now in 2024? We're just saying from the starting point that you decide to open a business and market it, correct?
Yeah. I don't know if we should spin in too many different circles, right? Because those angles do change all of the time.
Okay.
Think about it in terms of level of expertise. If you don't want to think about it in terms of number of years of experience, like how confident, how could they do it in their sleep? I can tell you when I've been at new things and I'm okay. In that first 1, 2, 3 years, could I do it in my sleep? No, right?
Good point. Good point. That's why I want to qualify for those who are listening. They could, you know, they could say, well, I've been doing hair, my friend's hair for years, but now I'm opening an LLC. I'm legitimizing my business. So this is the people that I spoke to, speak to, right? They're pivoting in their career. So it's like, if you're pivoting in your career, and I'm not trying to go all over the place, but they say, well, I have this one thing, but now I want to do this other thing. Do they circle back and are they new?
Let's think of it this way, right? You can't have that word expert. It stacks right into the word expertise.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Where are you showing up within your expertise? Okay. Are you beginner? Are you intermediate? Or are you an expert? You can set the years of experience behind. And if you are a beginner, you can still show up with that care and commitment we're talking about within the way that you use the words, right? And to your point, it may just be the booking system. It may just be the way you answer your phone or respond to text messages, right? Mm-hmm. Using your words to show that commitment. Hey, I am here to get this job done for you and do it in a thoughtful way, right? Mm-hmm. Commitment and care. That'll shine through.
I like that. So we're going to say this. If you're just starting out in this particular service, how you rate yourself as a beginner, focus on commitment and care. And then eventually you said you'll stack on to how you present yourself as an expert, because I think you're right. If and I've worked with other stylists where they show up on time, they do my hair, or they do it the way I want. And then in my mind, I'm like, oh, this person knows what they're doing. And then that builds over time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. So the next intermediate stage, since we're not, you know, they feel like I feel comfortable. Like you said, I can do it in my sleep.
Yeah.
I could do a wash and go haircut, whatever. I mean, you know, these styles, right?
Once you're intermediate, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, you can do it in your sleep. You become really confident in the type of experience someone is going to have with you, right? Taking it back to the gallery, right? Once I'm a really good exhibition designer, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what path people are going to take to walk through that gallery, how long on average they're going to spend, right? I really know what I've created and on average, how people are going to experience that. Because I'm so confident in that, I need to use words and language that set that expectation, right?
Okay.
Because setting that expectation of value, right, of a really comfortable, confident experience with me, that levels me up even that much more to being an expert. And there's a couple ways that you can do that, right?
Okay, yeah.
I can't stand it when I go to make an appointment, whether it's an esthetician, right, a hairdresser, tell me how this is going to work. Right?
Yes.
You never know. Are you going to wash my hair when I go in? Are you not going to wash my hair when I go in? Is a blow dry included? And those seem like simple things, but someone new in their process will tell you, yeah, it's a 60-minute session and it costs this much. And that's all we get. Someone more established in their process will say, I'm going to have a 10 to 15 minute consultation with you. And depending on what you need, we'll do X, Y, Z. I charge more for this. I don't charge more for that. And by the way, don't ask me to do blonde highlights. I don't do that.
I'm not doing I'm not doing that on this appointment.
Yep. And that can be within FAQs as well. It doesn't have to be just in the way that you lay out your process. The other way though, and like I'm sure you have things to say about this from a system standpoint, right? Getting those testimonials that reflect that experience. So as much as we said, oh, you need to use your words, once you're in this intermediate stage, you should be using other people's words too to set that expectation. And a lot of the time we rely on people to just magically go and get or give us those testimonials.
They do not.
Yes. Ebony could probably tell you all day. You have to set up a system for gathering those from people and prompting them to give you those words.
Okay, so you're in the intermediate stage of your business. You have, we're not even going to talk about years, but you feel confident in what you're doing. You've had established clients. You've built up your level of skill. And so at this point, we're talking about we're just leveling up. What I'm hearing is improving on the words that we use where our clients contact us. So by now, you probably do have a website, right? You should, in my opinion. Yeah, right? You have some place where wherever you're communicating with people, right? Mm-hmm. And so the words that you're using, what I'm hearing is that, because as you were talking, I'm thinking of the different levels of salons I've used for services. They have that language. This is exactly what we're going to do. I went to a stylist several months ago. They charge $200 for, they call it a curl session, I believe. And it's like a shampoo color. There's no chemical. And at first I was like, oh my, you know, clutching my pearls, because I had never paid that amount. But as I started reading everything she wrote to describe it, I was like, okay, although I was a little apprehensive because price is relative to your own personal experience, but she did lay it out. We're going to do this, this, this. And then she had an application. Listen, it felt like a job application just for her to do my hair.
And what if she had said, oh, don't worry about it. It's just good for your hair. I do it with all my clients. Honey, would you have signed on the dotted line?
No. Mm-hmm. And left a deposit. Okay. And asked for a deposit, a non-refundable deposit. So I said, oh, okay. So I do notice the salons who are, you know, they're at that intermediate soon expert level, which I consider her an expert. She's been doing it over 25 years. But that application, it asked me questions that I was like Googling words. But it told me, oh, we about to get deep with my hair. And so when I sat in her chair, it reflected, it was a match with the experience that I had. And then by the time I paid, which her system was automated, right? It just went through. I was like, okay, well, how can I get these products? The next step was, can I get these products to keep my hair looking like this? You know, so
yeah,
I'm seeing this. So this, if you're listening to the show and you are, you know, one of those stylists and you feel like you're a beginner, you're learning or you want to get to the next level, just maybe look at what you're explaining to people. If you want to be seen as an intermediate or expert, what I'm hearing from Erica, and I agree too, is that you need to improve your words and explain the process. And even if you think the process is basic to someone who doesn't know, it's like expert level. Like you would have thought shampooing my hair was simple, but honey, the way she did it, I was like, okay, I don't do it like that at home. You know, it don't look like this, but she has a whole process. And so I like that. All right. So let's go to, expert level.
Yeah.
Let's go to expert level. And then we'll circle back too, and talk about how they can use, how they need to match this all on their social media, because sometimes there's a disconnect. But let's talk about you're moving from service provider, because usually these people, they're in their business for a long time and they want to start doing other stuff. They want to start doing the book, they want to start doing the speaking. I've seen it happen. Oh, I just want to get from behind the chair. I'm tired of seeing people, which is fine. You've been on your feet for 25 years, right? They want to branch out to other streams of income where they're selling their knowledge. So what advice would you give to them for using their words?
Yeah, absolutely. So they go from that commitment and care level, right? And making sure that we're exhibiting that at different touch points, to setting expectations, right? To having that really clear, these are the standards. This is what you can expect. It's a little bit more and it's better for you, right?
Oh, I like that.
Then you're graduating to that expert level. Where it's all about insights and stories. It's not enough to show that you care. It's not even enough to show, hey, she's got a clear process. It makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. That's when you're talking to more than just customers, but also elevating yourself in the eyes of peers. And that's where those insights come in, right? Okay. Sharing your journey, sharing those little things, the hiccups, the shortcuts, the gotchas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can only spot them because you spent so much time with commitment and care and having
Yeah.
that high level of standard, right? And sharing those consistently. And I think it's perfect that you brought up social media, because that's how we start to build awareness around our expertise, as opposed to just services. We can use it to share services, right? But that deeper ongoing one-on-one relationship, and sometimes you're sitting on the fence, right? You've got clients here, you've got your peers here.
Yeah. Right?
And a true expert can pivot and share across the board and break it down in terms that make sense for everybody. True experts make it feel like it is so simple because it is so simple to them. Right.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. Which I think you and I you and I have experienced this, where, you know, we've both been doing what we do for a number of years. I always say 15 plus years doing, you know, I started out doing web design, moved into website consulting. And when I started, there was not really any social media marketing. You had your website and your blog. that was it, right? And then later on, social media became a thing. And so I tacked that on because it just seemed like a natural fit with email, like email marketing. And so I've too experienced that of like, okay, now I need to share the journey. I can't just say how to do this thing. It's like, well, Ebony, what are your thoughts? What? Oh my God. I got to give a perspective.
It is that unique perspective.
You want to give a perspective. Yeah. And so I too have experienced this. So, and I think go ahead.
I was going to say, it is so individualized too. Like, what's the right way to do that? People expect me to pop open a can and give them the answer to that.
Okay. Yeah.
And there is no one size fit all answer, but there is a one size fits all pitfall, if you will.
What is it?
Yeah. That all experts run into. And it's because we know so much, right? That we tend to put out too much at once. Follow me here, right?
No, I'm listening. I got you.
To remain consistent, right? So if I'm an expert, I'll barf everything, my heart and soul, the whole journey, everything, the kitchen sink, you know, and every pair of scissors I used in the meantime. that was everything. My expertise is out there. The journey is out there. So yeah. What I would say is, just as you right, you built your skills slowly in small pieces. That's how we share. That is the best way. Give it out there in layers. Experts are great at layers. If you can layer hair, you can layer your stories and insights into your audience.
You know what? I love that. And that's actually a good analogy, since we're, you know, I've been so deep in this. It's so deep looking up like hair salons in 2024, because a lot has changed. But that's true. And just thinking about it from a styling standpoint, there's a style that I may want, and the stylist will say, well, not today, because their experience has taught them that if you do a relaxer in a color, your hair's gonna fall out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the same thing with your, you know, using your words on social media. You don't have to, we were saying vomiting out, but you don't have to talk about everything. But at the same time, just like you're learning to walk and pivot, I think it's okay to be okay with knowing that you're probably going to get it wrong the first couple of times, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'll use an example of like with the storytelling. I was encouraged, Ebony, you should start telling more stories about your journey. And I'm like, well, where do I start? Do I have to start, you know, where's my violin? I'm a poor Black child. And then I read a book. Like, you know, and then you have some people tell these sad stories. And I was like, do it have to be a traumatic story? Like, what do you do? But what I've learned, here's my perspective. What I've learned is that I found what's comfortable for me. You know, and so now, and I started doing this thing where I was writing using my words and not relying on visuals, where I was using my words to write. And I think the more I wrote, and I'm using LinkedIn as an example, because it's so easy to write on there. And I post it, and it's like, you know what? It's not going to be perfect, but I think every day I'm finding my voice. And sometimes I mess up, I have typos and misspellings or whatever, but it's like,
love
I know, right?
Typos, right?
I know.
We're
No,
not secretaries from the 1950s.
I know.
We get
no
to have
AI
typos.
Here. But I think I'm getting more comfortable with like telling stories that I feel comfortable with. And so I think from my experience, and so I'll relate one because we will repurpose this as content, right? The thing that I have noticed since the first time I built what learned how to build websites with business owners is that you need to stand on, you need to believe in what you are selling and that you know what you're talking about, even if you just got started. And I'm going to say this because I remember my very first website I built for someone. It was actually somebody who helped me build it. And they were a hairstylist. And it was, you know, they're still a client now. And the things that we went through with the site, and I remember my second and third one. Now, this person obviously is great because they're still we're still working together. But there were times when sometime the client will say, another client will say, well, I need it to be done like this. And you're like, well, listen, as a best practice, that doesn't look good. The logo does not need to take up 25% of the page. You know what I'm saying? And so they were like, well, it's my website. And I'm like, well, you hired me as the expert. And that was, you think about this. This was when I've only was doing it for a short period of time. And it's like, listen, you hired me. Just like if I come to you to do your hair.
Yeah.
You do my hair. I'm relying on your expertise. So, you know, stand in what you do know. And if you don't know something, say, well, you know what? I'm not quite sure about that. Let me do some research. Which would I think also makes you going back to commitment and a person who cares.
Yeah, absolutely. My commitment is giving you the best possible website, the best possible messaging strategy.
Yes.
And that is why I can't deliver on that. Because
even
it would,
you cannot do it. I don't do that. You know, say that. Another thing I've noticed, you know, just through the years is that I did not think this in the beginning, but words matter even more in 2024 than it did 15 years ago with SEO, AI, and things being, well, I just said SEO, optimized for search. Your words matter even more. So now when I'm talking to clients, I'm not just saying we're going to make the site pretty. I'm like, okay, we need to talk about the words. And they'll say, well, don't you write them? I'm like, well, I can't write them without your perspective because it's your business. It doesn't need to sound like me. It needs to sound like you. So this is why I really wanted to have you on here because words matter so much. And I think this is my soapbox saying this. I think more business owners should focus on words in addition to the visuals because your web designer is not going to be the one speaking on the stage. It's going to be you.
Yeah.
Right? You're not the pup. You're you know, you're going to be the one. So anyway, that's my thought process on that.
I think it'd be great to sum it up, right? So when you're that beginner.
We're at the
right?
time.
Yeah.
We can talk all day. We'll bring you back.
When you're starting out, when you're not quite full in your expertise yet, I'm going to put yet because I believe in everyone, right? It is about that commitment and care. And we show that through questions, right?
Yes.
Ask some smart questions at those initial touch points. Once you're out of that beginner bucket, you're an intermediate, you've kind of got your groove. It's going to be all about setting those expectations and setting an expectation of what is likely excellence, right? So having that clear process outline, having great testimonials that reflect the exact experience, right? And having a system for collecting those testimonials. Anyone can do this, and it's not that expensive to implement. I haven't mentioned hiring an agency or hiring a great copywriter to frame you up and look amazing, right? This is about using your words because small business owners, right, often rely on themselves to get things done. If you're at that expert phase, it is about speaking to both sides of your audience, peers and potential clients, right? And sharing your insights and stories. So it's not just about the process that they could probably get anywhere, right? But those things that you've noticed that other people don't, right? That unique perspective and capturing it in small layers and little pieces and sharing it over time. Layer it if you're an expert.
Yes. Well, thank you, Erica. I know we're at that time, but again, Erica advances her goal of helping talented voices and minds overcome invisibility and silence through her signature message maker, message momentum programs. Now they can find you, tell us real quick where they can find you online to talk.
Yeah, connect with me on LinkedIn. I share free advice there all the time. And that's also where I post updates about my monthly Idea and Amplifier workshop. So if you want to turn those insights into an unstoppable message, that's where you can do it every month, completely free. Or find me at www.ericabrewer.com. We spelled it earlier. It'll be in the notes. It's a funky name, but I hope I see you there.
Your name is not funky. It's cool. Well, funky means cool. So anyway, thank you for coming to the show. We're talking about this words matter, how to, you know, pivot, go from service provider to expert using your words. And not even hiring an agency, but getting the support. So Erica, thank you again for having this conversation with me. And I guess
I'll see you on LinkedIn. I'll see you on LinkedIn.
All righty. Hold on.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you like the show and want to know more, check out our podcast at makemeovereb.com. Please leave us a review on iTunes and join us for the next show.